Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen live on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you want to keep up with everything happening here on the station, you can do so by downloading the free Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. If you want to stay up to date, it's the best way to do it. You can hear all the programming on demand, even while also streaming live. George Ruggiero is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, as he is each and every Tuesday and Friday, is, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime. Also, check him out on college football's number one Saturday pregame show, the College Football Betting Tailgate Show, airing at 9 a.m. Central Time over on VSiN. Also, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Follow him on X at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy, sir. Yeah, man, it's a good day. 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving.
My favorite holiday.
Christmas music is pumping through the Murray household already.
Ooh.
Christmas decorations going up in my neighborhood. Not on my house. We actually did put up an inflatable turkey for the first time. So, yeah, we don't want to overlook Turkey Day, but... No, it's a great time. College hoops is rolling right now. Got more playoff rankings tonight sandwiched in between the Champions Classic. So it's a good time. Went to a hockey game last night. So, you know, doing it all.
Let me tell you what, buddy. I have had quite the 24 hours. So corporate wanted us to honor Veterans Day, which I'm very grateful for. We got a full holiday. And usually in radio, when everybody else gets a holiday, you're still working because, you know, hey, man, that's a chance to get some ratings, as we know how it works. But we got yesterday off. So because my beloved MUS Owls handled Knoxville Catholic last Friday night, that means the Owls have to go all the way across the state to take on the Baylor School. And the Baylor School is, I would say, a solid FCS program. I don't know. You know, I think they'd compete in the MAC. It's a standard football factory. And so because of that, like, I had to get my car all ready, and, you know, that was $900 yesterday. So I'm scrambling around doing that. And then, God love them, my in-laws came in town, and they wanted to take my daughter to the zoo. And she had a big time. Like, that was good time had by all. But on top of that, she also had another big doctor's appointment where she got four shots in her finger pricked.
No.
Well... because she went to the zoo, we didn't have a big nap day yesterday. And so, I don't know how it works for your boy with school, but at the daycares locally, they all have an app. And anytime you get a notification on your app about from the daycare, you immediately just start thinking worst case scenario. I, of course, find out my daughter's running like 105, like 100.5 fever.
Oh, well, so if, big difference there, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, big, huge difference there. And to which then you kind of want to start arguing with them. It's like, don't babies run hot anyway? Like, this is really a mild fever, but it's like, nah, got to go get her. And then
just pump some Tylenol on her, man.
I mean, I was kicking myself because I should have just I took her to daycare today. And it's like right before I left, I should have just given her some Tylenol and I didn't. So then you're kicking yourself over that. Thank God my parents are local, so my mom can take care of her like during the work day. But buddy, we've been going through it in the right household. So that's where we are today. But huge weekend of college football as Tim mentioned.
I'm just looking at Max Preps right now and looking at this squad that you guys have to face.
I mean, I think half of their schools are like half of their offensive units like committed to an SEC school.
So you tell me there's a chance.
Yeah, I mean, we did the why not us.
Is there any common opponents here? Looks like Christian Brothers might be a common opponent.
Yeah, the Brothers got us. Macaulay was a common opponent.
They beat Christian Brothers 45-14, and you guys lost to them.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. Because in the state of Tennessee, in the second half, when you get up 30, the clock runs. So, like, once they're up 30, it gets tough for the score to get much more out of hand because the clock's running, everybody's just trying to get out of there. But there's nothing like knowing I'm going to be on the road Friday. We'll be doing the same thing. It's like on the road Friday to go drive 5 hours to watch your team get running clocked and then drive straight back. It's going to be an awesome weekend. So looking forward to that. Might be doing like Zoom as I'm driving, talking to you. This will be great. It's going to be dynamite. But I think let's get into the weekend because normally we do overreactions on Monday, but since we didn't have a show yesterday, I think today is a great day for overreactions. And you and I basically overreact every Tuesday anyway. But I think the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Saturday is I think the SEC is going to be an absolute mess to sort out.
Yeah. For sure.
Like beyond just beyond just trying to figure out what the SEC championship game matchup is. All right, let's play this out. And let's say, do you think what would the line be if A&M's hosting Texas today? It's at no more than Texas a field goal, right?
Yeah, hosting Texas at Kyle Field. Yeah, probably like 3.5.
Okay,
and I could pull up my buddy's. So one group of power ratings that I'm looking at right now. This would be actually a pretty big discrepancy. I think it would be in that 3.5 to 4.5 range, maybe a little higher.
Okay, so maybe slightly more than a field goal, but under a touchdown. Would you think that's the case? Yeah. And again, mm-hmm. we have football to be played, so things could change. But we're just trying to game this out. It's not inconceivable that A&M wins that game at home. Especially when you consider Texas has had some problems against solid defensive lines, and
we can go lock that in for a night game too, right?
Like I think they've already.
They already announced that.
I mean,
now that the SEC is on ESPN, like let's go ahead and report that. No, I'm just kidding, but no, that's gonna happen. Like that is
my suspicion is that's the ABC 6:30 game.
Yes,
because
they're not going to go, even though Michigan stinks this year. They're not going to put it in noon.
Well, also Florida State and Florida is at Florida this year, correct?
Does that game happen? I thought they just canceled the game.
Hold on.
I thought when you lose every game by 40 the year after going undefeated, they just cancel the season after week 11.
Actually, maybe that game is in Tallahassee. What was
it's
the,
in Tallahassee.
Okay, so it's in Tallahassee. So that means
that's SEC. Oh no, that's ACC
that's,
network.
That's well, that's the question. What are they going to do with it? Because Florida State does still rate, and I'm curious to know.
Do they?
I mean, I hope
they,
not. I mean,
did they rate on network television?
I mean,
losing
think
by
about
49 on Saturday night.
Their team total was 7.5, and I guess they had a chance on that last drive. But, like, that was the thing. It was like,
until they threw a pick six.
It was 7.5, and I never really felt like they were going to get the touchdown.
So, not to go too in deep because I did watch the whole game, obviously. They actually had a little success running the ball up the middle, which was more of a worry for me about Notre Dame than it was, hey, Florida State's doing something well. But that team is just
terrible.
They are terrible. And I mean, they've got a bye this week, then they play an FCS team, and then they play Florida. I mean, good Lord. We're looking at 2-10 Florida State. Well, preseason top 10.
On top of that, like, by all accounts, their roster was at least $12 million. Like, that is when portaling can go wrong. Like, that is, to me...
Imagine going back to those boosters and be like, hey, we had a tough one this year, but can we get more money?
By the way, we're also going to need to buy out all of our coordinators that you want us to fire. But hey, you're not going to buy me out, so I'll save you $60 million. Here's just like, can I have 10? But like,
remember when Alabama wanted me?
Yeah, well, I think that might have been a Sexton special.
Allegedly.
I think that might have been a Sexton special. And so forgetting that terrible game, but let's say if A&M beats Texas, which is conceivable.
Sure.
And then let's say chalk just holds. And that Georgia this week, as a 9-point favorite, beats Tennessee.
Okay.
We're now in that situation where if Ole Miss wins out, which they will be heavily favored to do so, if Alabama wins out, which they will be heavily favored to do so, and the rest goes chalky, we're now going to be talking about Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss. Is that six that I got? So we have the Texas schools, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Ole Miss. So that's six teams right there.
Well, remember, Eli Drinkwitz told us they're still alive for the playoff.
I'm not kidding you. That last 3 minutes...
that was nuts.
That was life-changing stuff. I mean, that
I didn't even bet the game, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, what is happening? You've got Drew Pine out there doing the Conor McGregor walk.
Well, like that was the other thing. It's like Drew Pine was exactly what I thought Drew Pine was for 56 minutes, and then he blacked out and became like Johnny Manziel for 3 minutes. I mean, the throw to Luther Burden was an absolute dime.
It was. It is pretty amazing that Missouri is doing kind of what we expected, which was their schedule super soft, but they played two big boys and lost by a combined 75-10. And I'm telling you right now, you know me, I don't like laying chalk, and we'll get to our picks Friday. I think South Carolina is going to rip them limb from limb on Saturday afternoon.
I mean, I think so, but I honestly thought, I mean, I know OU's
Oklahoma
offense is
stinks.
Bad.
Oklahoma
like, I know their offense is bad, but like, I didn't think that, honestly, that they would even be able to score multiple touchdowns with Drew Pine.
How many times was Pine sacked on Saturday?
Maybe as many as Carson Beck was.
Dude, that's another whole other conversation, man. Goodness gracious, that dude. We had Drew Butler on the tailgate show on Saturday. He's a former Georgia punter, does a podcast with Jake Fromm, and I forget the line he said, but he basically said, this is pretty unprecedented for for Kirby to stick with a quarterback like Carson Beck. He's like, if that was Jake Fromm, he would have been benched so fast. Like, it's pretty incredible that Beck is still the guy.
Okay, so there's a couple of differences. Number one, Beck is clearly the highest paid guy on the team.
Sure.
I also think, like, yes, he's not playing well, but I kept getting flashbacks to that left tackle was just absolutely in hell. And, like, they were doing everything they could at left tackle. Like, they were chipping. They were trying to use the tight end. They were trying to use running backs. Like, they were doing everything. And then it still didn't matter. Like, it was just a turnstile. And I do think there is something to be said. When you cannot block up front, everything looks awful. Because they even tried to run the ball, and they couldn't really do it. Then, when Ole Miss really didn't have any fear of the run, and to me, like the giveaway that Georgia was really in trouble, when the only time they were really able to run the ball was kind of gimmicky, you know, they had the reverse, and then they were basically just trying to run screens, I was like, oh, they're afraid of their offensive line. And like I think about this, like I know it's not perfect apples to oranges, but like my junior year, my best friend was our starting quarterback, and he was like an all-state player. And he was very good. for a high school football player. Like, had some offers from, like, Troy, whatnot. Shula liked him at Bama, but he was a better baseball player, so that never really matriculated. But he was a very good high school quarterback. The next year, we lost a lot of the when we were juniors, we had a lot of good senior offensive linemen. And we were really exposed at left tackle. And we just went from being an offense that could score pretty easily to we could not move the football. Like, that's what I feel like Carson Beck is going through right now. And then he doesn't get any help from the receivers. I mean, Tim, the sake of being rude, if you're a white receiver in there and you're not catching the football, what's your point? And they don't have any, like, it wasn't, did you see anyone open?
No, it was, I mean, Ole Miss, you know, I was kicking myself because we talked about that game.
It was so obviously an Ole Miss play, but history, everything didn't allow me to do it.
Yeah, that's why I stayed off of it, just because I felt like Ole Miss was the side, but Lane in these spots, Kirby in these spots, just I trusted in history. So I'm glad I didn't play it from a Georgia standpoint. I mean, here's the thing. It's not like Jackson Dart. I mean, he was good. I'm not denying. Like, he was utilized his legs, but he gets banged up. I mean, Simmons has one of the best drives of the game.
Oh, I mean, during the game, especially when you consider, like, I knew Jackson was going in for further evaluations, as in, we don't have the shot on the sideline, so we got to take him into the locker room to give it to him. But it was hilarious in my mind. Jackson Dart, where's number two? Leadership guy, like the guy that has been with the program. Here comes this lefty number 13 with the cross eye, the cross eye black, just slinging it all over the place. And I'm sitting there going, like, oh my God, we have Hurts to a 2.0. But Jackson did, you know, you could tell it took a while for the shot to kick in, and he was limping. And then once I realized they were, like, calling design quarterback runs for him, it's like, okay, they feel pretty good that he's going to be fine. And he was good. To your point, he was good, but he wasn't great. Like, he was solid.
They didn't need him to be Arkansas Jackson Dart.
No, and he was pretty good with football. I mean, the interception happens, and, like, that is the other thing, like, where I give Ole Miss credit. Like, that's the type of game where it spirals on Ole Miss. They don't get off to the right start. And even though Georgia did punch in the interception, they had to go to fourth down. It was quite the struggle for them to score. And then really from that point forward, like, I felt like Georgia was pretty lucky the game was only 28-10.
So we're going to get the new batch of rankings tonight.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this more specifically later. But I'm just running through the way you opened the show and running through some scenarios here where if that A&M thing happens, whew, it's going to be interesting. You know, and you're going to have a two lo- – I mean, can we say that Georgia's going to beat Tennessee? I mean, the betting market would tell us they are. I think they will. So you're looking at, let's just say Georgia beats Tennessee, like you mentioned. Tennessee will go 10-2, assuming they win at Vanderbilt to close out the year. They have a win over Bama, win over Vandy, who is going to, it seems like, fade here, but regardless.
It was a hell, even if it ends at 6-6, that was a hell of a good season.
Oh my God, yeah, man. Like, give them all the credit in the world. Getting to a bowl for Vanderbilt is very impressive. If BYU, which they won't, but if they go undefeated and then lose in the Big 12 championship game, are you going to kick them out from like 5 to 13? Maybe. I think BYU has got a rabbit's foot shoved so far up their behind that at some point it's going to end. But yeah, I mean, Notre Dame, more than likely going to go 11-1. Indiana, worst case scenario, 11-1. Penn State, 11-1. Ohio State, probably 12-1 or 11-2, depending on how the Big Ten championship goes against Oregon. Both those teams are in. So you're looking at right now the Big Ten is pretty good shape for four teams, right? Penn State's not going to lose again. Indiana, at worst, is going to be 11-1. So, all right, Big Ten's got four. Is Notre Dame a lock at 11-1? I would say so. With a win over A&M and a win over Louisville, who's ranked still. And then they play Army, you know, say what you will about that. That's an undefeated Army team. So Notre Dame's probably in decent shape. You've got to get the G5 team in there. Like, this big like, if you're an SEC fan, you are big Kansas Jayhawk fans this weekend. Get BYU out.
I think you're big Kansas Jayhawk fans, and I also think next week you are massive Ohio State fans.
Yes.
Because to me,
is Indiana, if Indiana gets blown out, could they get left out?
I think so.
Whew, man, that would be tough.
And we're going to do some predictions later of like what we think the committee will do, but I think there's a chance tonight that they ding BYU and they ding Miami, because if they set it up early, like they're going to clearly want to avoid what happened last year. And if they set it up early that these are one bid leagues, then when inevitably they're going to put in either too many Big Ten teams or too many SEC teams, it's a lot cleaner.
Yeah, I think for the SEC, if for the we want as many teams in possible crowd, which is, there's a possibility, if I'm doing my math right, no, we can't. If Notre Dame's in, it looks like it would be 4 Big Ten, 4 SEC, G5, Big 12, ACC, and Notre Dame, right?
Yes, four, and four.
That's the 12. But yeah, Georgia Tech, hilarious. We called it, by the way, on the show. We weren't ultra confident because of the Haynes King situation,
yeah.
But we just, I mean, come on. This was Mario's spot. And then I played it on my show on Saturday. I don't know if you heard him and his interaction with a media.
Yeah, I saw the question. Post-game thing. Yeah.
It was during the week where he basically was like asked if he learned anything about the situation. He's like, about what? And he just, you know, came off as such a pompous, you know what. I'm like, you know what? I hope you lose. And they did.
You know what, though? When they got the ball back.
Oh, I thought they were going
to. I was so convinced they were scoring.
Cam Ward's that dude, man. He's got that mojo. But apparently, Jake Retzlaff and the Big 12 refs are the ones who really have the mojo.
Yeah. I mean, I stayed up, and I guess I should do spirit of full disclosure. Like, I fired on BYU when I saw, like, Utah couldn't move the ball. Like, they couldn't score. I was like, all right, I'll fire. I think I got, like, 7.5, maybe. Like, right at the half. I fired then. And then I was like, man, Utah is freaking out on offense even more so. So I fired on BYU to win. But, like, Brock Osweiler's on the call, and he's like, man, this is defensive holding. Like, yeah, it's away from the play, but it's like, this is the penalty. And the other thing is, and that this
did
is,
it happen at the same time, though?
I mean, they never really, you know, whenever you're at the game that kicks off at, well, I don't know, 9:30.
Yeah.
Whatever TV truck ESPN sends there, that's not the A-team TV truck. So they never, like, did the split screen whatnot. I will say, though, the way Utah was talking after the game, like, that was loser talk.
Yeah, the AD, for those who missed it, saying that they were jobbed and they were, you know, they won the game. I'm like, all right, buddy. And here's my question, too, like, and we'll do more of this on Friday. How do they bounce back from that? Like, Utah. Like, this season's been an absolute disaster. Preseason favorites to win the Big 12. Cam Rising not playing. Keithy done for the year and career at Utah. OC gone. That was it, man. And they blew it. And, you know, the refs made a questionable call. I just keep laughing at how BYU continues to somehow do this magical carpet ride where they've now scored game-winning scores with less than 10 seconds twice this year. But yeah, that was straight up Loserville.
Like, that was the classic, we lost a big rivalry game, like, our fans are pissed, we've got to do something. But I was like, that was a little too much theater for me. You know what I mean? That was kind of eye-rolling, but this is, like, really where I am curious is, like, how do you sort out, like, if you have 10-2 Tennessee,
yep.
And let's say they lose a competitive game, like, let's say they cover, like, Georgia wins by a score.
I mean, they got to win over Alabama, man.
They've got to win over
Alabama. A very nice win.
And their road loss to Arkansas, in my opinion, is not as bad as a home loss to Kentucky that Ole Miss has. And then, you know, I have no idea what LSU is going to spiral into the rest of the way. But like, you're just starting to parse through these teams, and it's like, is 10-2 Georgia that lost by 18 to Ole Miss, like, are they still going to get the favor over Ole Miss? Like, I just feel like we're in a situation where a couple of these teams are going to get left out, and I'm setting aside Missouri. Like, I just kind of see, like, they're a path
still
for
alive.
Six teams.
Still
I see
alive,
a path
Mizzou.
For, like, legitimately six teams, and they're not going to take six.
No. I think they're going to take max four. Like, they need, if you're pro SEC, you need Army or USC to beat Notre Dame. Is it impossible? No, it's not impossible. Improbable. Notre Dame will be a decent-sized favorite in both of those games. So you need that. I think I agree with you. I think you need Ohio State to win like 56-0 on Indiana.
Yes, and by the way, I'm not sure if they can. Like, I do think Indiana, what they showed was Ohio State is going to present a lot of problems for them up front. But Indiana's still pretty good defensively, and they make you earn it. And we've seen when Ohio State gets into those kind of games, they really do struggle to, like, just hammer the gas.
And they don't really need to, right?
Like, no,
there's no need for Ohio State to have style points. They've got a road win at Penn State. They lost by a second at Oregon. They have a chance to get revenge in that game. And oh, by the way, like, let's not forget, for Ohio State, Indiana, which is in 2 weeks, Ohio State hasn't beaten Michigan in 3 years. Like, as big as the Indiana game will be, the Michigan game is bigger for them because they need to get that awful taste out of their mouth. That's the game where I could see them naming the score if they can. Like, they will try to continue to put it on Michigan. I don't think they give a crap about Indiana. Like, they want to beat them, and I think they will beat them, but I don't think it's going to be embarrassing. So, yeah, I mean, I think with Indiana being there, with their weak schedule, and, you know, they're going to end 11-1, assuming they lose to Ohio State, and have zero wins over top 25 teams. They might have zero wins over, I think, any bowl teams. Like, their schedule is atrocious.
Well, I mean, and, like, that's the question. Like, how are they going to parse out all these teams?
I don't know. I mean, as crazy, like, it felt like up until last year, and, you know, I know Jimbo was like, oh, we should get it over Notre Dame in 2020. Well, don't lose to Alabama by 50. It's been pretty much easy to figure out who's in the playoff. This year, it's not. Like, this year, it's going to be, because you have these added wrinkles where you've got five auto bids. And now the seats at the table, because this year is as open as we've, I don't want to say ever seen, but seen in a while. The playoff is going to be, that Sunday show, more than likely, is going to be pretty fascinating to see how it all plays out. Because then you have to add in, like, once all these tiebreakers are settled, like, does the SEC runner-up get dinged for getting a third loss? Whoever that may be. I wouldn't think so, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Georgia dropped from 1-5 last year, losing to Alabama.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, in my scenario, let's say A&M beats Texas. Texas is sitting there at 10-2.
Texas is sitting there 10-2 with what great win?
That's what I was going to say. What? How would you? But I mean, neither one of us think they're going to leave Texas out, right?
I wouldn't think so, but you look at their body of work, it's what? A road win by 3 over 7-5 Vanderbilt? It's a thwarting of Florida, who won't make a bowl game. It's beating Michigan, who may not make a bowl game. Like, that's the interesting one to me, is if Texas loses on the road at Kyle Field, they'll be 10-2 with zero wins over top 25 teams.
I mean, honestly, their best win right now might be, I think it is, it's Vanderbilt.
Currently. And that could potentially get worse If Vanderbilt loses to LSU next week on the road, which they'll be a massive underdog, and then if they lose at home to Tennessee, Vanderbilt is based off of betting odds. Now, I know Vanderbilt has defied logic, right? They're 6-1 against the spread, 4-3 straight up as an underdog this year. But if Vanderbilt drops their next two games, they're 6-6. They're a bowl team, but they're 6-6. So, yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch of people listening, like, who cares? Just play the games out. And that's fair. And college football tends to figure itself out. But, like, to me, I think this is great for the sport. I think the fact that this is interesting and then we do have legitimately good teams on the fringe of making the college. Because what you saw from Ole Miss on Saturday shows to me that I don't know if they could win the title. Could they make a run? Hell yeah. Alabama, the way that they ran the football on the road at LSU, could they make a run? Hell yeah. They beat Georgia. Like, they beat LSU on the road. Dominated them.
Ran them out of the building. Literally.
Like, they embarrassed them. And you had Brian Kelly complaining to the refs that they were rushing too many guys late in the game. So I want to talk about loser talk. By the way, how you doing there, Bayou Bengal fans?
Well, I mean, that's the other thing.
Year three of BK, haven't made a New Year's Six bowl, but you got a Heisman Trophy with one of the worst defenses in the country.
Well, and then clearly it's like, what is costing them this year? That's the other thing.
They went out and they got Blake Bell, spent all that cash to go get the young hot guy who, by the way, Brian Kelly did not retain on his own staff when he went down to LSU, brought him back. They can't stop a mobile quarterback. They got pants to Texas A&M because Marcel Reed came in. What is this? And then Jalen Milroe, who rushed for what? $140 a year ago? Ran for over 150 on their behind on Saturday night?
Well, and then there's the question of, like, what if Bryce Underwood, who is legitimately, like, garners comparisons to Cam Newton, who is committed to LSU right now, if the stories are to be believed that Michigan is going to flip him, then where are you at?
And then they might lose Derek Meadows, who is a five-star, fringe five-star wide receiver, who instead of going to LSU, Bama, went to Notre Dame, Florida State.
Now, I always do say, I don't count out LSU in bidding wars until it's over.
Sure. But if Michigan's going to pony up to get a quarterback after this nightmare of a season with their quarterback play, I mean, that's why NIL, now that it's, in air quotes, legal, that's why when you hear Oregon getting late involved in a recruitment, you're like, well, that one's done. Uncle Phil said, here you go. Come on out to Eugene. Late entry into the contest, Texas A&M. All right, well, know how that doesn't play out.
I don't know. Like, I just keep thinking, it's like, when it happened on Saturday, I was like, well, that means Ole Miss's path has went out and they're in. I'm just not convinced that's going to be the case.
They really need Texas A&M to lose to Texas.
I agree. And I think,
if Texas A&M loses to Texas, A&M's gone because they have three losses. Then it's, all right, so if Georgia beats Tennessee, then you got 10-2 Georgia, 10-2 Tennessee, 10-2 Ole Miss, 10-2 Bama, and Texas. All of them ain't making it. One of those teams is out.
And then to me, it's like, I think it ends up becoming a Tennessee-Ole Miss question, and then the question will be, it's like, how do they parse it? It's like Ole Miss has road overtime loss to LSU. Then they have the home loss to Kentucky, who's likely to be 1-7 in the league, and their only win is U. Tennessee would have, I mean, I think it largely depends on how do they lose on Saturday, if that is indeed the case.
Well, I think to clean it up, right? If you're an Ole Miss fan, you're cheering for Tennessee.
Your best win is now getting this is the irony of this stupid way we do it. It's like all of a sudden your Georgia win, now everybody's going, well, was that really that good of a win?
I think you'd rather them beat Georgia than Tennessee's 11-1. Georgia's out with three losses. And I think you're feeling better about yourself if you're Ole Miss. That's the way I would look at it.
I guess this is the way that I would look at it. In the end, I want Georgia to be there because I want them to have to make a decision of head-to-head, did it matter? Because this is not like Ole Miss just kind of fluky won the game.
They dominated. They won convincingly.
Right. And so I think I want that decision of I want them to have to pick Georgia over us because they're going to really struggle to do it. Like we just said, like ironically, like Bama still gets this benefit of the doubt that even Georgia didn't get. Like in the end, they dropped Georgia to 5.
Yeah, they were 12-0, number one in the country. They dropped them to 5. Missed it.
And so, like,
I mean, there's a couple things though, and it's like not that crazy that if BYU goes undefeated and loses the Big Ten championship, Big 12 championship game, whew, you're going to drop them all the way out when they've got wins over SMU, Kansas State. Like, I don't think they will. I think they lose this weekend, and I actually think they lose next weekend. I think they lose back-to-back games. But they're going to be a favorite in the next two games against Kansas and Arizona State. What if Indiana beats Ohio State?
Well, and that's where
Indiana's in, and it was Ohio State at 10-2 with wins on the road at Penn State out.
I mean, to me, like that's where this gets fascinating because I do think I'm with you in that we've always said, hey, you know, this stuff tends to sort itself out, but I think that's using logic that doesn't apply. It tended to sort itself out when you only had to pick 4 teams. Well, when you factor in what you've already mentioned, the flattening out of rosters, the fact that there's no dominant team. It was always pretty messy the last few years trying to sort out, all right, 7 through 15. It just didn't matter at the level that it matters now. Like I think this thing, I'm convinced more than ever this thing's going to be messier than I think we realistically anticipated. Because I think we were thinking, all right, if you're going to have an argument between 12 and 13, win more games. And that's like I think that was a reasonable approach. Like whining about being the fifth team is different than whining about being the 13th team. I think what we're seeing though is separating 5 through 15, that's going to be quite the procedure.
100%.
And it's largely in my opinion because you have a 16-team league that's playing 8 games, and then you have an 18-team league. I think they play 9. The Big Ten's playing 9.
Big Ten's playing 9, yeah.
But there's...
Well, and it's like, you look at... I mean, no one's going to cry for Georgia, but like, look at how their schedule played out. They had to play Bama, Texas, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. The only team they didn't play of note was
themselves.
Was of themselves and A&M. Oh, and I can't forget, you know,
Missouri.
Still alive for the playoff, Missouri. But yeah, I mean, and then you look at Missouri, they played 2 decent teams. I know Missouri's not in the discussion, but they played 2 teams, got destroyed, and they're 7-2. Oh, by the way, Georgia actually played someone with a pulse in the non-con, and they won that game going away. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, look, the SEC got their first big help. I think the ACC at this point, we can all agree, is going to be a one-bid league. I would be very surprised if Miami or SMU, if both of them were to get in. So the Georgia Tech win was massive for that conference because if Miami was 12-0 and lost to SMU in the ACC championship game, that would be tricky to keep them out. But now you lose to Georgia Tech as a double-digit favorite, you're done.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will go through our weekly awards from the world of college football. Also, lots to get to from the world of sports, and we will end up trying to predict what we think the committee will do later on during the show. But when we come back, we will hand out our college football awards. We do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yeah, Tim and I were not struggling to think about Black Friday, of course, the big Thanksgiving games that will be coming up in a few weeks, but it's never too early to think about shopping on Black Friday, and you should shop at Robert Irwin Jewelers because you can buy gifts that give gifts. Robert Irwin Jewelers' annual Black Friday event is now ongoing, and with every purchase of $299 or more, you can get a free gift. For example, get a 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings in 10 karat gold for $549 and get a free JBL noise canceling headphones. They also have the Flexi Diamond Bangle bracelets. You spend $99 and get a free Nintendo Switch.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Robert Irwin Jewelers Black Friday event is the perfect time also to buy your engagement ring. While I didn't buy mine at the Black Friday event, this is also where I bought my wife's engagement ring. A tremendous shopping experience. I knew absolutely nothing about the diamond process, but they make it super easy. And if you can spend $49.99 or more on an engagement ring, you also get a free 85-inch smart TV. It's all going on right now, five locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. All right, the week that was, so I went back and looked. That Missouri-Oklahoma game, we can get into it in just a moment. The post-game win expectancy wasn't what I thought. Bill Conley had it at like 59% for Missouri. Over at College Football Data, they had it as 77% for Missouri. But that was just one of those ones where you're watching and you're just going, like, I still have no idea how Missouri won this game. All right, let's start, though, with the team of the week. Here are the options I threw out. You tell me if you think I overlooked someone before we pick.
Okay.
Obviously, as Ole Miss, we mentioned them.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned Alabama. I mean, that's a thorough butt kicking.
Throttling.
When you make Tiger Stadium empty out, and also I think we were proven right, the fake Mike the Tiger, like, you were playing with fire. Like, that was on you. We could include Georgia Tech.
On my list.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I was super impressed with what Colorado did to Texas Tech. I know
went
Texas
down early in that game.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Down 13-0. I thought that was a spot, I think we mentioned on Friday's show, where if Texas Tech had not beaten Iowa State, I would have 100%
sure
backed Texas Tech. And I did not, and they're down, they're up 13-0. I'm like, well, here's that spot. Look, Colorado, and I know the Big 12 is not a, it's the worst of the four Power Four conferences, at least in my opinion. They did get their ass kicked by Nebraska.
Is it possible if you rate top to bottom, it's not as bad as the, because I think the ACC has some, like, dog teams.
Yeah, they got some bad ones. I would take Clemson, Miami over anyone in that conference, and maybe SMU.
I think that's fair. Although BYU beat us.
They had the wrong quarterback playing. But no, I guess that's a fair point, right? BYU went to Dallas and beat them. Teams can get better. But you got to put Colorado on the list. 100%. It's as crazy as it sounds how big of a hype train they were a year ago. They are absolutely under the radar. And I think they deserve their flowers, man.
Anyone else that you would add from the weekend?
No. I mean, South Carolina was really impressive, but Vanderbilt just looked like they were a team just completely unempty. But they continue. I mean, South Carolina is a big what if team, right?
Oh,
what
for
if,
sure.
What if they beat LSU? They're in this same discussion.
Well,
and they've
also,
got a they've got a game against Clemson at the end of the year.
And if they end up finishing strongly, which I kind of think that
I think
Klubnik's going to have a tough day against them.
And I think they hammer Missouri on Saturday.
Well, then all of a sudden that becomes another data point for Ole Miss. Because Ole Miss absolutely mopped the floor with them.
The only game this year that South Carolina was not competitive was the Ole Miss game.
Yep.
And you're right. That's another that we didn't even talk about that in the open. So Ole Miss is massive South Carolina fans right now.
I think you correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to get labeled as a homer. Although, as I've always pointed out, like my family are Ole Miss people. My wife's an Ole Miss people. But like after covering Hugh Freeze, I do not have fandom anymore. Like I want my family to be happy. But I just think that they were the story of the weekend.
I'm not going to disagree. I want to give credit, though, to Georgia Tech.
Absolutely.
Haynes King played. He couldn't throw the football. And they still...
They navigated that perfectly.
They ran it down Miami's throat throughout the game. And as you mentioned in the opening segment, when Cam Ward got the ball back late in that one, you're like, well... It was fun, Georgia Tech. At least you got to cover town. You're going to lose. And they didn't. And to have Haynes King run for 93 yards. Oh, by the way, their best running back got hurt and did not return. Jamal Haynes. Like, he got hurt on the opening drive. He goes into the end zone. He has a 65-yarder.
I was going to say, like, right after he damn near, like, broke one from, like, the 10.
Yeah. So, right out of the chute, Georgia Tech goes right down the field. And then their best running back, who's legit, he gets hurt. Haynes King's not 100%, and they still win that game. I mean, Brent Key deserves a ton of credit. They're not a what if team from the standpoint of like what if they, you know, where they could be. But I mean, the Louisville game was wacky, as we discussed. They didn't have Haynes King for Notre Dame or Virginia Tech. They're just a decent team, man. And, like, that's kind of a fun, sneaky Black Friday game. Between the hedges, like, are they going to get completely blown out by Georgia?
I mean, they didn't last year.
I know. And I'm like, if they're fully healthy, that could be a fun little tricky spot there for Georgia. Not to lose, but for Georgia Tech to be competitive. So I would agree Ole Miss is number one, but I just want to give shouts to Georgia Tech. I thought that was good to knock off a... Well, let's be honest. Miami's good. They are fraudulent to be that, like, ranked number four. They were asking to get beaten by Virginia Tech. They should have lost to Cal. They needed to lose a game, and they did. And now, if they're going to get into the playoff, I kind of hope they do, because I'd like to see Cam Ward in the playoff. But they're going to have to beat SMU in the ACC championship. And fortunately for them, based off of the tiebreakers, currently they get the head-to-head, not the head-to-head, they get the whatever tiebreak scenario over Clemson.
All right, for our dumpster fires of the week.
Florida State.
The only other one I would submit for consideration.
Kent State.
Oklahoma State.
Is Kent State just perpetually on fire?
I would argue it's the worst job in the country.
Do you feel sad? Do you feel... So, I know people probably don't even know where Kent, Ohio is, and that's fair. This team has not led for a second this year, and they lost 41-0 to Ohio. And my good friend Parker Fleming does that how bad did we get beat graphic that he puts up on his Twitter feed at StatsOWAR. And by far and away... The number one ass whooping of the week was Ohio over Kent State. So I feel like you could just say Kent State every week. So I'll shift off of that. Florida State is, I don't know how they're this bad. Like, and I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts being located in Memphis and like if there's happiness regarding this.
No, like, most people have warmth for Norvell, even though he left.
This team went 13-0 a year ago.
Well, I mean, there's always the... I know Felica puts it out there, the Bear. Like, what if that was... What if everything was a Jordan Travis stat? You know what I mean?
I mean, I have never... I'm trying to rack my brain on a team, Like, there's been teams that have dropped off and gone to 4-8, 5-7. Like TCU a year ago, right? They went to the national championship game and then they didn't make a bowl game. This is disgusting. Like, they went, and I thought, I don't know who mentioned it. It might have been Stanford Steve and Van Pelt on their podcast, where it was basically they said, Florida State, the team that won the ACC and was undefeated last year, lost by 7 touchdowns, and it was like, yeah, it's kind of expected. It's like, what? Where have we gotten in this sport where Florida State, a year removed from being the biggest snub in the history of the sport, to losing by 7 touchdowns and be like, yeah, it's about right.
I mean, they lost to Duke, and you're like, yeah, that's about right.
I'm still mad about that one.
I mean, so here's the real question.
Do they beat North Alabama in 2? No. I think that's who they play.
I think yes. But like, if you can't score, it's tough to beat anyone. Like, the problem that Mike is going to have is they're going to have to completely redo their staff. And Florida State has largely been a school that doesn't recruit based on relationships. They recruit largely based on money. And I think this is going to be something interesting to monitor, because I think the portal as a, you know, breaking case of emergency, or, you know, the sugar high, I think it's starting to thin out, because what we're starting to see is the portal was initially a pretty good option to rebuild on the fly quickly, because there were so many kids that had extra eligibility because of the COVID seasons. Further, you now had the transfer waiver was done away with, so you had the open transfers. But now what we're starting to see is it's starting to get a little bit more under control, and a lot of the guys that are in the portal, they're in the portal for a reason. And while there are plenty of options, those options become very expensive. And then what we're also seeing is when schools really want to keep somebody, they fight tooth and nail to try and keep someone. Like Van Buren, the quarterback at Mississippi State, is going to be a perfect example. The kid, as a freshman, has played very well. And Mississippi State is likely going to do what it takes to keep him. Now, does that mean that they end up losing 2 or 3 other guys? For sure, like that's very much a possibility. But now what you're starting to see is when you're trying to build purely through the portal, it gets very expensive, and maybe you turn out and it works out like Ole Miss did on the defensive side of the ball. But what if it turns out like Florida State did? And you got a bunch of mercenaries that don't care.
Where, I mean, I didn't mean for this to turn into a Noel cast here, but where is Florida State from a recruiting standpoint now? Isn't it pretty, it's 30, wow. I'm looking at, they're 31st in the country.
Well, and they've been dropping because they had a receiver decommit. Like, that's the other thing. They're now just at the point where now they're starting to pay the price.
I mean, it's hard to keep together. I mean, if you're a high school senior and the school that you're about to go to has losses to Georgia Tech, Boston College, Memphis, lost by 4 touchdowns to SMU, 16 to Clemson, lost to Duke, lost by 3 touchdowns to Miami, lost by 24 to UNC, and then lost by 49 points to Notre Dame. Yeah, that's tough, man.
All right, Heisman of the Week. I'm giving it to Jalen Milroe. I mean, he was just, that was insane. It was like playing, it was like playing Madden 05 and you had Michael Vick. Like, I don't know if your buddies, like, we had to make the rule that you couldn't play with the Falcons on that Madden. Was it 04, 05? The one where Vick's on the cover. He was legitimately a cheat code. That's what it felt like when you were watching Saturday night.
I have a funny story about that. Because I agree, it's Jalen Milroe. I won't go too long into it, but me and my buddy, I was more of a college football.
I mean, I was too, but I was mainly a video game guy.
But my freshman year, so that was 05, so I guess that was Madden 06, right? We started a dynasty together, and we did like a draft, right?
Yep.
So I picked Peyton, and I played like the first 2 games. I'm like, Peyton kind of It's not fun to play with.
No, no.
So I traded for Michael Vick, and I got a first-round pick with him. So I got Michael Vick and a first-round pick that ended up being like a 96 wide receiver.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.